It's been a hot minute since our last episode, but this one is really, really important. It has tons of life updates, and it's really going to go deep into what God has been doing in our lives and how he's been encouraging us. And I really do hope it encourages you as well. If you're ready to hear about just all the ups and downs of our adventures with the Lord lately, then grab a cup of coffee and cozy right in. I really hope that you walk away feeling like you can really surrender your life to the Lord and to where he wants to take you on your own unique walk of faith. Here we go. Welcome to the Making Room Semester of Faith School podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, integrate their life in faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but is here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life, surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome, and to my old faithfuls, welcome back. This week, I am welcoming back one of my nearest and dearest friends, Yvette Allen, and we're going to walk through some personal updates as well as some of our favorite takeaways from this semester of the show. This one is more personal and will definitely give you a lot more insight into the last few months and why Faith School has not been regularly published. We love you all. And we really hope that this conversation is not only informative, but also extremely encouraging to you in your own faith. Let's listen in. Welcome to all of our Faith School listeners, and welcome to Yvette for being back on the show to talk about our season of Making Room, or our semester of Making Room. And it's been a while since we have recorded anything. And so I feel maybe a little fresh behind or a little off, but it's nice to be back, and it's nice to be able to fill you guys in a little bit on what's been going on in our world and why things haven't been coming out maybe as consistently this summer, but then also just to share a lot about God's faithfulness in the midst of this semester and all that he's been doing in our lives. And it's so encouraging to hear about how you guys are being impacted by the episodes and the stories, but it's also pretty awesome to be experiencing it ourselves as well. So welcome, Yvette, back to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I feel just as rusty. But by rusty, it's like I have experience of one episode. So I don't know if that counts as rusty. I think I'm just equally new.
This time we're not like, you know, 5 inches away from each other trying to share one mic. So I feel like this is okay, but now we're hours away.
Yeah. And that's what I was just going to say. I feel like I don't have the benefit of reaping the presence of your experience. I feel like I have that around me. So I'm on my own now. So many miles away.
Oh, so many miles, so many hours away, but we'll get into all of that. So I thought we would share a little bit about just some life updates and why things have been so crazy for us. I know on Instagram the other day, I was kind of saying there's a lot more that we could share about what I've been going through, and you have a little fun update as well. So we'll get to that. But yeah, I've been in the midst of moving, which is crazy, but you have been there with me since the beginning of this craziness and the crazy idea and all that the Lord has been doing. You're very much a part of that for me. So I'm glad that I get to discuss it with you.
Thankful to be a part of it. It's been a privilege to be along the journey with you.
So for those of you who don't know, Yvette and I, we met at Edmonton. I lived in Edmonton for 11 years. She's been there for eons and eons. Mm-hmm. And we went to the same church. We met there. We had a small group that we were in together. So I was very rooted in Edmonton for especially the last few years. I felt more and more like Edmonton was my
main community. It was a very meaningful place for me where I grew a lot, and the Lord did a lot in my life, did a lot in my husband's life. And so when the idea of even just moving out of our house became something that we were talking about, it was definitely a challenging conversation that we had to have. So what happened was, and you know this, initially we started thinking about moving out of our house because my husband wanted to go back to school. That was the first thing. And we thought Edmonton was the logical choice. That was what made sense, was that we would just move somewhere close by that was a lot smaller and then cut way down on our mortgage, and he could go to school and I could continue on in my job and all would be well. It would just make total sense to do it that way. Then something started to happen within us that we realized that maybe Edmonton wasn't where we were supposed to be. And I remember, like, in the beginning, I didn't share that with a lot of people. Like, that was it was a very scary thing to even consider, that we would maybe be going outside of Edmonton, because it had just been such a beautiful community for us to be a part of. And we really felt like God was at work and using us there. So it was really scary to be thinking about going outside of there. But there ended up being a program that my husband could do that was similar to one in Edmonton to get his education degree, but he could do it in Kamloops. And Kamloops, for those of you who are in the States, it is in BC, kind of more southern-ish BC in the interior. And it is like 10 hours away from Edmonton. So it is quite a ways away. The idea of moving that far away was really intimidating. And me, to make it even more so, was that we kind of were thinking about it, I think at the beginning of May or the end of April. And then we found out that his school started in July. So we had to make a decision really quickly. And we were kind of thinking, well, I mean, it's like a possibility, like maybe it'll happen. But it just didn't make a lot of sense to move down there. It's so much more expensive to live here. And there's just so many things that it just didn't really make a lot of sense. The time frame didn't make sense, like all these things. And there was a shift that started to happen. And I would say, first off, it was just something in our spirit that really changed. Do you remember those first conversations, Yvette?
I was just trying to think back, actually. I wonder if by the time you shared with me, you were starting to shift already. It's quite possible.
Might have been. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, because I feel like early on, the conversation was more, should Caleb go to school? That's what we're praying about.
Yeah.
And then after, it's like, hey, yeah, really feel like the Lord is calling Caleb and the Rempel family to this next season. Mm-hmm. Then now, where is the school going to be? And then I think at first we were all like, yeah, U of A. But then once the Kamloops option came up, I was kind of feeling with you guys. I was like, I feel like the Rempels are not going to be here. Like, I just really, I felt that in my spirit really early. And I was really thankful, because I'm like, I really love the Rempels a lot. So I was really thankful to have that little nudge from the spirit that, their next season is going to be elsewhere. Because otherwise I'd probably try to keep you here if I didn't have that nudge from the spirit. So it's very gracious.
Yeah. The nice thing is that I was so glad that you were unified with us in that, because there were a lot of people that didn't really know if it was the best idea for it. When we started to share it with other people, there was some that lovingly were like, yeah, maybe like think about this a bit more, pray about it. Like, this is a really big decision. Yeah. But it just felt, it meant a lot to us that the Lord would give you unity with us.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who really knows us and knows our heart and knows our relationship with the Lord, like in a different way than a lot of other people, it meant a lot. So yeah, I'm very thankful that you had started to feel that way as well.
Yeah. And I understand why a lot of people were trying to 100%. Give you very kind, loving advice. Well, partly because Edmonton loves having you. So there's that. But like, Caleb had a good job. Mm-hmm. You had just started basically your dream job working in women's ministry with the church. Yeah. Like, you were not only integrated with the church and the small group and in so many ways, but you had invested so much in your neighborhood. Like, your block there loved you, been there for 7 years, right? Mm-hmm. So there's all of the things in the practical and temporal, at least, was saying, oh yeah, stay in Edmonton. Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There was something that happened though earlier on in the year is that our senior pastor had passed away. And so we had a bunch of guest speakers that had come in to give our pastors a break so that they didn't have to preach in the middle of grieving, which I thought was a really wise decision mm-hmm. that they made. But the one guy talked about how sometimes the Lord calls his soldiers home to himself, and sometimes he reposts them somewhere else. And this was like the weekend that we were deciding what to do. And it just, Caleb looked at me and was like, oh my goodness, like this, yeah, like this means something. Like we were meant to hear that right now, right? And God was just over and over again making it so, so clear that this was the right thing to do. The next craziest thing was you and I were out at a restaurant right before we went to Hamilton. Yeah, yeah.
So good.
So good. So much fun. But before we went to the play, or we went to the musical, I was talking to you about how when we first moved into the home, we had been praying about, Lord, how long do you want us to be here? And we both kind of felt, Caleb and I both felt, it was around 7 years. And when you, I mean, we were thankful to be unified on it, so we kind of kept it in mind. But sometimes when you think you hear stuff like that, you just have to be cautious that you're not, you know, holding like this is it, and like mm-hmm. you know, just being very sensitive to change and to where the Lord is taking you, and not being, you know,
so recognizing that we as humans are fallible,
like absolutely
kind of hold it loosely, but
exactly
kind of shelved up there.
exactly. So it was very much like a holding it loosely kind of a thing. And I was talking to you about that, and I thought, I think I said something like, I think it's like around 7 years. I'm not 100%, but I think it's like got to be close.
Yeah.
And then we looked at the exact date that I got, that we got the keys to the house when we bought it. And it was exactly 7 years, like to the day of our farewell party. And Caleb was scheduled to leave the day after. And it turns out he had to stay another day, but he was scheduled to leave the day after. And like just over and over again, the Lord confirming and encouraging us and how he knew this was happening the whole time. And this has not been an easy transition. There has been a lot that has happened and a lot going on in us emotionally, spiritually, physically. We were exhausted because we thought, why not renovate the house before we leave? That was insane. But so we were just like totally, we've been totally exhausted, but God has just continued to encourage us through so many different ways. And for that, we are just extremely, extremely grateful.
I was just thinking that even Caleb getting into the school encampment, yeah, yeah. just how like mm-hmm. the door is just flinging open.
Seriously. I mean, the fact that Caleb got into the school when he did, it was past the deadline. He should not have been able to get in for that reason. He was supposed to have 100 volunteer hours. Didn't need that. Got in. There was like another course that we weren't sure if it was going to be okay, that if he had it or not before he got in. And they were like, oh yeah, it's fine. They just kept waving him through yeah. the whole process. He should not have been able to get into the school if we would have just looked at the application. So God just like continuing to open doors for us. We found a place to live down here through, again, God just opening doors. The exact day that we found out that we were moving down here officially, I reached out to my one contact down here and said, hey, we're moving down. Do you know anywhere we could stay? And she had a basement suite that was going to be available. When we were moving, there was just people showing up. I remember one day I said to the Lord, I'm so tired. Like with the renovating and the cleaning and the packing and everything. I'm so tired, God. I really just need you to send people. And I had, I think, 6 people show up the next day that I wasn't expecting. It's just been absolutely incredible to see God's goodness. We've had a couple offers come through. 2 sales of the house have unfortunately fallen through. But the first time we were like, oh my goodness, how are we going to pay the mortgage? Like we weren't really expecting that. And I had a payment come through from my last wedding that I had booked in 2020. It was happening this summer. The exact
wedding photo shoot.
Sorry. Yes. I just get married all the time.
You're officiating these weddings.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, I'm a wedding photographer, or have been for many years. And it was the last wedding that I had ever booked. And it was in, she booked me in 2020. The wedding was actually down here. So I didn't even have to travel anywhere to get to it. I didn't know I was going to be living down here at the time, but it was down here, very close to here. And she hadn't sent the full payment yet. So what she sent me was the exact amount that I needed for my mortgage.
Mm.
Like, it's when I say it all in one go, it's like, it's just crazy to see God's faithfulness and just how good he's been to us in the midst of everything. So it's like, we're like, oh my goodness. And then he's like, encouragement. And then I was like, yay. Yeah. And then, oh my goodness, encouragement. It's just like, it's just, oh, his timing is just like so, so perfect. Everything. Mm-hmm. There's so many little details that I could go into, but it's been pretty incredible to experience it. I want to share about all this because not just to share it, not just to put it out there, but really to truly point people back to the Lord and just to say he is so faithful. He's asked us to do something that's been really hard. These have not been easy decisions. This has been really, really difficult. But with that, he has been so encouraging and just really carrying us through. I remember praying with somebody and she asked the Lord to give me an image. And I saw us like being carried by a hot air balloon. And it was like the Lord saying, you know, let me carry you to your destination. If you've never been in a hot air balloon before, sometimes you don't know exactly where you're going to land.
Mm.
Get in the basket and then you go up and they don't always have a lot of control over where the balloon lands. But God is the fire to bring us up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that fills it and carries us to where we need to go. So I really was, again, very encouraged by that image, but that's very much how it's been feeling. So,
and I love that because so often in the scriptures, the presence of the Lord is represented by fire, a pillar of fire.
Totally.
That's really cool. It is the presence of the Lord that is fueling it. That's all that you can see. You don't necessarily see the destination. It's not always clear where you're going. It doesn't look like a straight path, but you can rely on the constancy of that presence.
Definitely. 100%. Yeah, it's been pretty incredible. I know I've gone on and on about this, but this journey has felt like, I know in conversations with you and with Caleb, it's like we've been talking about a lot about Abraham and how a lot of our journey has felt somewhat similar to, not that we are Abraham. Let's be clear. But a lot of our journey has felt kind of like we are being led to somewhere that we don't know. Like we're being asked to do something that we don't know what the end result is going to be. I still don't know. I still don't understand completely why we're here. But a lot of when we were processing things and talking about things, like I was hearing these little bits about Abraham all over the place. And so it definitely has felt very much like a theme. And I know you had definitely had some really great thoughts around that. So I wanted to let you chime in with some of that.
Yeah. I just know really early on when I was praying for you guys, when you guys are trying to discern, and there's a lot of Abrahamy things that were coming as well with the praying. I think the first Sunday that you guys were pretty sure that you're going to be leaving, or I'm actually really bad with time, Leah, so maybe you can help me with this chronology, because it was before you guys went away on your weekend to have a prayer time, maybe a week or something before that, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at church, some of the people were praying for you guys. And I just felt so strongly for thinking of Genesis 15. And then I didn't pray for you guys at that time, but then it was still just like burning in me. And I remember a few days later, Caleb was sharing that, oh, it just feels like you guys are walking around in the darkness. And like, you don't see anything, kind of stumbling around, don't know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if he said like, like looking for a wall or something like yeah. that. And that's so much like in Genesis 15. I felt like the Lord was saying to Caleb that his presence is there, because one of the signs of a theophany in Israelite kind of thinking is mm-hmm. Israelite theology, ancient Israelite theology, I should say, is when there is this darkness, impenetrable darkness, this is a sign of a theophany, which is just an appearance of Yahweh in some way, appearance of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a tangible appearance, but the presence is just yeah. overtaking. And in Genesis 15, that's right after Abraham got the big promise that I'm going to make you a big nation and it's going to bless you and the world and mm-hmm. it's going to give glory to me.
Yeah.
And that's basically all that he got. Well, he's like, hey, go to a land. I'm going to show you. Where is that land? Nope. Don't hear where that is. Where mm-hmm. that is. But Abraham is told to just leave. He's told to just leave with his family and just go. And that's basically all he got. And so Abraham's like, can I have a sign, something? Can you give me a little bit more to go on? And then that's when this darkness comes. Mm-hmm. And then there is, I can't remember if it's some kind of fire, this lamp, a light somewhere where the presence of the Lord is there. And that's where the Lord makes his covenant with Abraham. Mm-hmm. And the rest of ancient Near Eastern culture, there is pretty typical ways of making covenants between a suzerain and a vassal state. So whatever more powerful state and whatever weaker mm-hmm. state. And so all of the elements in Genesis 15 is recapitulating those elements of making a covenant between a powerful state and a lesser state. Mm-hmm. And kind of the hinge point, one of the most important parts of that covenant is that the weaker state, the weaker vessel, they end up walking through a sliced carcass, basically. So mm-hmm. the sacrifice is made, then the animal is, one half of the animal is one side, one half of the animal is on the other side. Yeah. And then the weaker vessel walks through to basically say, hey, if I don't hold up my end of this covenant, then see this animal, this mm-hmm. is what should happen to me.
Yeah.
So the Lord sets up this whole similar covenant making situation. Abraham, being from that region, would understand what's happening here. Hey, a covenant is being made. Yeah. Clearly, the more powerful entity in this covenant is the Lord mm-hmm. and not Abraham. But then the Lord himself passes between the sacrifice. Like,
wow. mm-hmm. so
that moment, I can't even imagine what Abraham was thinking or feeling. But he's like, so here's the covenant. I'm making a covenant between you and me forever. Mm-hmm. And even if you mess up, even if you can't get this figured out, I myself will be the sacrifice so that this covenant can continue. In 2 Timothy, where it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I think there's another one in Romans, and I always like how Paul writes things because he's really spicy. I think Romans 3:3. What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar. So God's faithfulness was clearly and is clearly what the Lord is speaking to you guys right now. And so it just felt like the Lord is saying, yes, you're on this journey, but it is not your faith that this is dependent on.
Yeah.
Because I know that it was such a big thing for you guys to be discerning, like, am I doing the right thing? Like, we don't want to mess this up and whatever, but it is the Lord's faithfulness that is what will bring you through this journey and not your own.
Yeah.
And his response to all the questioning is, here is my presence. And that is all you need. That is enough. This is what you look to. Right. Just thought, wow, man, that's so, so gracious of the Lord. Eh?
Oh, 100%, 100%. And this is why you do things in community, my friends. Okay. Because one, I'm just so thankful that God spoke to you and that you were able to share about the Abraham and the covenant and all that. But I don't know how many, it's been multiple times that you have reminded me specifically that it is about his faithfulness and not mine. And that just, from my anxious heart, that just does such wonders to acknowledge his character, that he is, he's going to follow all the way through with his character, then that's also his sovereignty. Man, it just makes such a big difference. And I've had to be reminded more than one time.
We all do, girl.
Yeah. I'm just so grateful. Friends, this is why you do it in community.
And it's so wonderful to have the testimony of the saints gone past, like those, our spiritual forefathers, because even looking a few chapters before in Genesis, like Abraham, he was doing all right. Like he just met the Lord, so we can give him some, cut him some slack. But, you know, he ran away to Egypt and then he's lying about his wife. And so the Lord is sovereign. He made it so that Sarah would not be touched. And then he brought him back away from that detour. Like clearly Abraham's faith was not perfect. Like it was
totally,
it was touch and go. So,
yes.
Very thankful that is the Lord's faithfulness that we depend on. And it's been really cool to hear you get excited about a book that I and many others in our small group have been so excited about.
Yes.
We had been talking about reading Epic of Eden. A few of us, like Caleb, had read it a few months ago. Josiah read it. And we were hyping on it. And you've heard us blabbing about it for a while. Yeah. And then when you got to Kamloops, you had a little bit more time now that you weren't renovating your house.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh, maybe I should pick up this book and start reading it. And then the Lord kept speaking to you about and encouraging you through the story of Abraham, through this incredible look into the history of the Old Testament through this book. What's the name of the author again?
Her name is Sandra L. Richter. And
God bless her.
My goodness, you guys. I'm telling you, this is, I think it's from 2008. I tried to look one time. I think it's in the book. But it is so good. It is so so good. If you are at all confused about Old Testament theology or anything, like, it is amazing. So yeah, exactly. If it, I again, I'd heard about it for a long time, and it was God's sovereign timing for me to read this. What was crazy was that I was having a moment. I was bawling my face off with my mom about just all the changes and having to step into stuff that I, you know, just having to do some really hard things. And within a couple minutes, she had left and I had picked up the book to read. And this is what I read. This is insane, you guys. This is within a few minutes. Again, God is so good. So it says, but eventually Terah dies, leaving his sons to begin their own family units. And it is at this point that God speaks to Abram. His command, go forth. In other words, leave everything and everyone that makes someone in a patriarchal society secure and trust God for a new identity and a new place. Take a moment to translate this into your current economic and social situation. At this point, I'm like, oh my goodness. Leave your house, your job, your friends, your church, your relatives, abandon your inheritance, a 401k that will not transfer, and maybe even the equity in your home. And go somewhere where you don't speak the language, you have no business contacts, friends, or relatives, and trust that God to make a new place for you. This was a very tall order indeed, especially in light of the fact that we have no evidence that there was any prior relationship between Yahweh and Abram. I assure you that most folks in the ancient world and most folks today would not have gone. But Abram believed in Yahweh's good word, and as it says in Genesis 15:6, he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So then I started to bawl again. The tears just kept coming because God is so good and so faithful to encourage us when we need it, when we are really willing to surrender to him, to give everything up for him. He's so willing to encourage us and to show us his faithfulness. And as we've just shared, like, it's all about his faithfulness to us. And I mean, if I've learned anything, it's not about my own in at all. Like, it's just incredible. So I hope that all of sharing all of this really encourages you guys, and that you feel encouraged to surrender to the Lord and whatever he is asking of you, and knowing that he's going to take care of you. It's not going to be easy. It never is. Life never is. And especially one, especially a calling, the kind of life that God calls us into. It's not easy, but it is so worth it to experience him in this way, to just love him more. And that surrender, it's honestly been a life-changing couple of months. And so I just really hope that our experience with the Lord will just really encourage you, all of you guys out there as well, and in whatever he's asking you to surrender as well.
That verse 6, chapter 15 in Genesis, verse 6, mm-hmm. where the Lord and Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So that righteousness isn't perfect. It wasn't consistent, as we see in Abraham's life. Mm-hmm. But it makes me think of in Matthew 5, where Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, so they will be filled." So our hearts being surrendered to the Lord, we do hunger for righteousness. We hunger to trust him. We desire to have faith. And the Lord sees that, right? So even when it's like, oh, we do not succeed in that hunger for righteousness, but it's the hunger, it's the heart that the Lord is holding and desires for us to just to seek him and to want him, right?
Yeah.
Or to absolutely. Want to want him. Sometimes yes. that's where we're at, hey. Like, I want to trust you, Lord.
Yes. yeah. Absolutely.
I come with honest and open hearts before him. So this is what the Lord wants of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I think my prayer has been over and over this last couple months, just God, I want you to be enough for me. Just show me that you're enough for me in this journey. Like I can't do this on my own. I need you, and I need you to show me that you're all I need. And I feel like there are days when it's harder to believe that. But there are also just so many beautiful moments of just like, yes, Lord, you are 100% enough for me. Mm-hmm. And not just in mm-hmm. these cool little miracle stories, but
yeah,
and perfect timing kind of stories, but just his presence of like, yes. this is God, you are enough. You're enough.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me a lot, Leah, of the episode with Michelle Dwyer, the way that mm-hmm. she talked about hope has, you know, all of these encouragements, mandates, things orientations of our hearts and minds that we're supposed to point to that we get from scripture. It can be easy for us to be like, oh, well, I'm just supposed to trust. And so I'm going to just ignore my emotions and the way that I feel, the way that I think, and just pretend that I do or something. Right. Yeah. So I loved how Michelle was saying that hope is not an emotion, right? It's not just skipping over our real human experience, even thinking of the meaning of the word Israel, right? That nation that we've been grafted into, it means he who wrestles with God. It's like, it's that wrestling is a central part of the relationship and being human that the Lord invites us into.
Yeah.
So the hope isn't despite our, it's not despite our circumstances, but it's through it, right?
Yes, absolutely. I was so encouraged by that episode with Michelle. I just felt like, for those of you who have not listened to it, I just highly, highly encourage you to go listen, because she really does make just so many great points around how hope is not an emotion. Like it is something that we choose to do. It's more of an action than it is an emotion. And I think it just, as like you said, we're having to apply that right now, not blindly. Hope is not like this, some kind of blind thing, but we're having to really like hope and trust in the Lord through what we're going through right now, which has been very much a roller coaster.
I think that Michelle said, if faith and joy had a baby, its name would be Hope.
Yes. Yes.
Was that it?
Yes. Yes. I believe that's what, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Faith I and loved joy that.
Had a baby. Yeah. It's that application of the two things. I love that. And that hope is in the Lord. Right? It's not hoping necessarily for something, but our hope is in him and who he is, who he says he is, and it's in his character. And it's, I mean, where else would we want to put our hope? I don't know. I don't think there's anywhere else that I want to put my hope at this point.
Nope, me neither. So yes, it's true. We don't want to put our hope anywhere else, but it can, that line can feel really trite, even though I know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But why, I guess, and what does that even mean? And I liked how Michelle, even in just that short time, she did give some really helpful ways to think about it. Mm-hmm. Remember, she was saying, so yes, again, it's not an emotion we generate, but first it's making space for Jesus and who he is.
Mm-hmm. And I, exactly. And I loved how she talked about healing, like really getting to healing some of those past wounds, healing some of those areas in our life where we can, like, she really pointed out to me, like, it's important to go back there and deal with some of those things, the things that trigger us, things that make us feel distraught or weary or, you know, hopeless, and address it with the Lord, replace lies with truth so that we are able to hope in him more, to hear from him better, to get to know him better and who he is.
Yeah.
It was very practical, which we love, but it was also just like very, I've thought about that a lot since that interview.
Mm-hmm. And recognizing, taking the time to recognize the presence of God in our suffering.
Yes.
So we can, sometimes we kind of have this false dichotomy of either we're going to say, yes, the Lord is good, and we're going to recognize him and then dismiss our suffering. Or it's like, okay, we need to wallow in suffering. But it's like, this is one of those times where it's definitely a both and. Mm-hmm. We can honestly experience suffering.
Yeah.
And at the same time, recognize the Lord's deep presence. And like, that is what the cross does, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, the Lord's presence is fully there and the suffering is devastating, right?
Yeah.
Another thing she mentioned is that biblical hope is a joyful expectation of goodness. And one of the things, can't remember if Michelle talked about this, maybe you can remind me, but what that line makes me think of is the hope that we have as Christians in the new creation. Like, you know how throughout so much of the New Testament, we see the Lord, well, Jesus speaking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, that it's near, it's coming, and it's here. And then even how Paul seems to be so excited about this, like, this world is passing away and there's a new life coming. Growing up, I kind of had this idea that probably came from, you know, kind of come from Greek mythology and maybe Renaissance paintings of, when we die, we go up in heaven and we're floating around and maybe singing songs all the time. Like, I like singing, don't get me wrong, but I feel like it gets old after a while. So, recognizing that we actually have a hope in a new creation, that the joys that we have here is just a glimpse, a foretaste of what the Lord is preparing and going to create when he redeems all of creation and reconciles it all to himself. And it will be all aligned with who he is and with his will. It's like, that's pretty dope and that's pretty exciting. And so to know that there is a goodness coming that will be united with him.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the here and not yet. Yeah, definitely.
When Paul says that he considers our present sufferings not even worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, it's worth it to take a little time to understand or even get a glimpse of what is this glory that's going to be revealed in us. What is it that we're comparing with the present sufferings? Of course, the presence of the Lord made manifest in his good creation as well. So it is an expansive and exciting vision.
Absolutely.
Were there any other highlights that you found, Leah, from this season? I guess we both were very encouraged by the hope episode with Michelle Dwyer.
Absolutely. Yeah, that episode was, I think, just kicked us off on a really, like, really good foot. It was such a powerful episode. There was one line that came out of, and I really appreciated the interview that I had with Amber about gratitude. It was so much fun getting to talk to my friend again. And that was awesome. But one of the lines that she had that I kept thinking about was, what are we being formed by? You know, are we being formed by gratitude? Are we being formed by something that is as significant, like spiritually significant as gratitude in our faith walks. And I said it on the episode, I'm not a very grateful person sometimes. I can be really negative and I can have a really hard time being grateful. And that really is formative in mm-hmm. who I'm becoming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can give grace for where I am right now, but mm-hmm. I want to be formed so that I can become something, become who the Lord has asked me to be. And so just that idea of what are we being formed by? And I started to think about that in other things, like things I was watching and listening to and reading and conversations I was having with people. How was I being formed by what I was choosing to engage with? And even how I was choosing to engage with certain things. So that really stood out to me from that episode as well. Like it's definitely set in. I think the Lord really did some good conviction for me personally through that. Just that one line. It's amazing how an episode something can really stand out.
Yeah, that's really powerful for all of us. Even just yesterday, I heard Pastor Tim, the church I was at, he said when he was inviting us all into church, he was saying that throughout the week, we're being deformed by the narratives of the world and those philosophies. That's and so good. We come together and meet together to be reformed into the image of the Lord. It's like,
that's good.
This is so true. That's so good. And to have that kind of undergirding the why of what we are doing and to move through the world with that awareness. Like, what is deforming us and what is reforming us into the likeness of Christ, that he is being faithful to move through us so that we will one day be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Wow. That's really beautiful. I love that.
Me too. Good job, Pastor Tim.
Yeah.
I was going to just ask Leah, since it has been a few months now since that gratitude episode, have you integrated any of those principles, or how has your gratitude walk been impacted since then?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, I've just been trying to incorporate it more in my prayer life and trying to make it more at the top of my prayers, because I have been, while I have been extremely encouraged, like I said, you guys, God has been sending encouragement when I have been discouraged. And so in times when I've felt really like, oh, what are we doing? God, what are you doing with us? I don't understand. It's been that much more important to me to try to just be more grateful, to thank him for the things that I do have, and to do that with my son. I think that's been really, really great to be able to practice that with him. And just,
that's wonderful.
You know, he has a habit of going, thank you, God, for this food. Amen. So that he can eat his food. Even just encouraging him to, hey, can you think of two more things that you're thankful for today? I mean, and I'm trying to say that to him as my little disciple, but I need that just as much as he does. So trying to keep, even when I'm feeling like, oh God, what is happening? To try to remember to thank him for who he is. Because I know that beyond what I see as my reality, that he is faithful and he is good, and there's so much to be thankful for. So I think that's how I've been trying to integrate that more into my life for sure.
I love that. And I will say I have seen that in you as well, because there has been a lot of things that has been difficult for you to process through, transition through, and having to grieve, letting go of so much.
Yeah.
And I always admire how you're very good at doing that so well, so honestly, before the Lord and with others. I learn a lot from you in that way. And even as you've been sharing, like, oh, this has been really hard, I've noticed how you'll be like, but I'm also thankful for this. I missed it as well. You'll be bringing in both sides. So
I'm trying.
Good job. Well done. Well, it's showing.
Oh, thank you, friend.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, when you were asking me about what some of my favorite parts of the last season has been, I was just kind of clicking through some of the notes of the different episodes. And as soon as I clicked on Deanna's and it said rest I just audibly did a just reminded of the invitation to rest again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just love the framing of it mm-hmm. as an invitation, like something he is calling us to. Because even when we use the language of like, okay, we're giving ourselves permission to rest, which is fine. But it's kind of this idea like, oh, it's something that's bad and we need to have an out in order to rest, mm-hmm. as opposed to it's like, actually the Lord is calling us to that. And we can say no, but this is something he wants us to be integrating to our life. This is a way of being he wants for us. Mm-hmm. And so thinking of the rest of our callings kind of on top of that. So she was talking about motherhood and entrepreneurship primarily. And of course, any good thing in our lives, if that's on top of rest, then it makes sense that we say, Lord, how are you going to be creating space mm-hmm. for this? Mm-hmm. Right? It's not something that's supposed to be a hustle. Of course, there's seasons where it's going to be more tiring or hustlesome or whatever, but it's easy in our culture to get this idea that if we're not hustling, then mm-hmm. we aren't doing as well. Like we're not being as successful, but we need to be redefining what is achievement. If rest is the seventh day, that is the completion. There's a sense where that's the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. Then maybe our idea of achievement should also be rooted in that rest.
Right?
I love that. It's always good to have a paradigm shift as we're being deformed by the narratives of the rest of the world. It's like we need to be reminded and reformed by the narratives given to us right in Genesis, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that conversation with Deanna as well. And I just found that I've been trying to integrate rest in different areas of my life for a number of years because I've really struggled with like working too much and trying to strive and achieve and all that. And so bringing rest into my life has been definitely a huge life transforming spiritual practice. And so to hear her she just brought so much wisdom to that topic that it just even enriched my rest experience that much more and just encouraged me to keep going. And I think that, you know, she talks to entrepreneurs, to mothers about including rest. And I know a lot of the questions that I get around Sabbath and how do I Sabbath when I have little kids or how do I Sabbath when I, you know, work crazy hours or weird hours or whatever the case is. She really addresses a lot of things in there, you guys. So if there you have questions around that, I would really recommend listening to that episode and also checking out all of her resources. And we'll make sure that we link all of that as well.
And Leah, it's been really cool to see how you are someone who loves work and loves goal setting and having your schedule and calendar full. But how you've also grown to love Sabbath mm-hmm. and to schedule that as something that's like the start and end of your week.
Yeah.
And to make that, I guess, the hinge point of your week. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've really admired is the way that you've integrated rhythms into your life, that rhythm of work and rest. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people have appreciated getting to use some of your templates because you've created a template for how you guys have done Sabbath and how you guys have created Sabbath.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people have appreciated being able to slowly integrate a Sabbath practice into their lives using that template. I don't know if you're going to be sharing that with all of us once again at some point. I think the Sabbath challenge was sometime earlier this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would love to be able to share some of that again. So we'll definitely try to link whatever I have so that people can get a hold of it. I definitely think it's helpful. I've walked several people through the process now and even if they don't stick to something like super strictly, they're still taking something away from it, some kind of rhythm from it. So
Well, otherwise I know that there'll still be emails going out once a week. Once every couple weeks.
We shall see.
There will be regular emails going out.
There will be.
So I know that Sabbath will come up at some point again. So
it always does. Always does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For those of you who are on our newsletter, thank you for sticking around on there. But we'll add links to the show notes so that you can continue to be on there because I am gonna be doing a regular monthly newsletter again. I had stopped it for a little while, but it's bringing it back. And it's got a little revamp to it too that I really like. So yeah, it's coming. But speaking of challenges and speaking of, you know, bringing people through a template.
Yes.
We had the Making Room Challenge this semester. The whole point of the Making Room Challenge was taking away distractions or taking away things, making room for the Lord in a bunch of different areas of our life.
Yeah.
To just make room for the abundant life, to make room for more of Him. And we had just such a positive response from the challenge. I got this email saying, thank you for this decluttering challenge. This was the most well-paced challenge I've ever been a part of. Hopefully I can revisit this list weekly as to not become overwhelmed with my journey. Thank you for the accountability, for your emails, videos, and that she will be continuing to listen to the podcast. So that was just so encouraging for us to get a note like that. And we really did want to try to make it really manageable for people to do. And so I think we did that. So we will link that challenge. We did run it live for a week, but you can still get the download and walk through the challenge yourself at your own pace at any time. So make sure that we have the link in the show notes for that as well.
Love anything that's self-paced.
Oh,
so much grace.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And one day I hope that we can expand it a little bit to invite people into a longer journey. But what I really loved about this was that it was just a short 7 days. I think it was a 10-minute challenges every day. Super simple.
Super doable.
So we had some really fun stats. I love sharing stats. I like looking at how we're doing with numbers and that sort of thing. But some really fun ones from this last semester was, do you know what our most listened to episode was, Yvette?
Probably one with you in it, I'm guessing.
I was there. Yes. And you were there as well. Your episode was the most listened to.
Is that strange?
That's awesome.
That's so wonder awesome. Why.
It was so good. It just kept being passed on and passed on. But that was actually lovely. A really good episode. I had lots of great response from that one as well. And we went through the different areas of the challenge and just tried to give a little bit more of our heart behind each area and why we chose it and what it could look like in a practical sense, but even in a little bit more of a like theological sense as well. Just what did that really look like? So I'm very happy that that episode did so well because it was one of my favorites as well.
Oh, it's always fun to talk with you about anything juicy, good theology.
Always.
Practical always. Theology. Love
that's
it.
Right. The next one that's really fun, I like looking to see where people are listening from. So the top country was the U.S., which is always really interesting to me, but it was more than double of the next one. Like more than double, which is Canada. Really cool, which is Canada. Okay. So it's the US, then Canada, and then India, Bolivia, Australia. And then we had a good chunk of downloads from the United Arab Emirates.
That is very cool.
Isn't that cool? So guys,
there's some cool people out there.
I know. So we have people that are listening from all over, and what a joy it is to invite all of you into these conversations that we're having. And I'm just so thankful that people are returning to us again and again to be encouraged and get some good practical nuggets. It's awesome.
It'd be fun to hear from more people from around the world to see how, especially the practical things, like, does it translate differently?
That's right.
Your culture there in your communities, the church communities and work communities, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Different rhythms in different parts of the world. It'd be really interesting.
Yeah, please email us if you are listening from somewhere outside of especially the US and Canada. We would love to hear from you and to see if, you know, like Yvette said, that the experience is translating over to where you are and that it's still working for you.
Even in Canada and the US too, because we've got so many subcoutures up in here. Like even so you in Kamloops there or close to Kamloops, when you tell me about your life there, I'm like, you are in a different world.
that we are. I was telling Yvette that in Alberta, I didn't have a dead fish in my backyard. that just fell from the sky from eagles fighting over it. It's a very different world here.
And even in the middle of our recording here, you got a call from your mother that, oh, where's your husband and son? Because there's a bear hanging out in that area. So
make sure
not the calls. Yeah. Not the calls that usually we get here in Edmonton.
You're not having bears in your backyard? I'm so confused.
Not generally.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Well, my friend, we are going to wrap up this conversation. And the big question is, okay, life is changing. So for me, I've had some big changes and you are walking into a change as well. I want you to share what's new in your life.
There's not really a long story, but my marital status shall be making a minor adjustment this winter.
She's getting married. Yeah. So we're heading into just different seasons. We're a little bit unsure of what the future is going to look like. So with that being said, it's not a yes. It's not a no. It's a, we're not really sure.
Yes.
So we just, acknowledge that God is on the move and we just want to be open to wherever he is taking us, to be very prayerful and be very sensitive to his leading for our future with Faith School. You can definitely still hang around the newsletter. I will be continuing that for sure. That is not going anywhere. We'd love to stay in touch that way. As for podcast episodes, we're just not sure right now. So if you could keep us in your prayers and could just ask God to give us wisdom on what to do, and we just want to be really mindful of where we're at. And I just want to say here, with that being said, that I am so thankful. I'm so thankful for you, not only just like as a person and as my friend. You mean so much to me. I'm so thankful because what people don't realize about the show is just how much you've been involved since the very beginning. Like, you have been my partner in this. And I don't say it enough on here that I'm just so grateful for you and all your work and what you've given to this ministry. And, I hope and pray that it continues. But I'm also just so thankful for where God has taken us and the journey that he's taken us on through this podcast.
I'm grateful as well. Yeah. It has been a wild ride. Wouldn't want to do it with anyone else.
Oh, same. So same.
This is Faith School. Like, we are living out we are learning what it means to walk in faith.
Yeah.
And we have faith, in the Greek is that word pistis, which means allegiance. So our allegiance isn't to a particular outcome, to a particular ministry, as much as we enjoy it, but it is to a person, right? And so, as you told us before in your most recent story, Leah, sometimes our Lord puts his soldiers at different posts at different times, and we don't always see the big picture. We don't see the whole game plan, but we can trust that the commander is good. And so we can trust wherever he puts us and whatever duty he puts us in is going to be for our good and his glory. So
amen.
We are walking that path. We don't know what the next steps are, but we are grateful for the journey that we have taken. And we're going to be grateful for whatever is next, the good and the bad.
Yes.
We know that it will be good in the end. We can have that hope.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you to all of you for listening to our show and to the Making Room semester of the show. We are so grateful for all that the Lord has taught us through our guests, both behind the scenes in their published works and also just through each interview. It really has been such a blessing this semester, even though it has been published more over like a longer period of time. I feel like these conversations have come to me at exactly the right time. The Lord's timing is always so much better than my own. And so I'm so grateful for that. And I hope it was the same for you as well. As we go forward into the future with Faith School, we still have a lot of decisions to make in terms of how we are going to go forward with the ministry. And that does require a lot of prayer. If you want to join us in prayer, we would absolutely love that. For all the updates, we would love to see you on our monthly Top of Class newsletter, where I'm going to continue to share resources, ideas, updates, and reflections we really hope that we're going to be able to put out some news soon about what is going to be happening with Faith School and how we're going to be proceeding forward. But we would just love to see you on that newsletter. Either way, it is definitely going to still be coming out. So follow along with all of our latest adventures and tools and recommendations by signing up through the link in our show notes. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School. We are praying that you feel fully surrendered today. The God who made you loves you and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal His kingdom.